The opinions expressed on Breaking News Bears are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening.
Welcome to the Breaking News Bears podcast. I'm your host, Chris Capone, joined alongside my co-host once again, Evan Davis. And the World Series matchup is finally set. This Friday, October 25th, marks Game 1 of the 2024 World Series between the Los Angeles Dodgers and the New York Yankees. Baseball's two biggest names meeting up in the World Series for the first time since 1981. Obviously, the two biggest names in baseball, just in the athletes, going against each other in Shohei Ohtani and Aaron Judge. And what's sure to be a great series. And we will discuss how we got here. But first, Evan, I want to ask of you, what do you make of their opponents in their championship league series wins? What do you make of the Mets and the Guardians now that both of their seasons are over, short of the World Series?
Yeah, I mean, we could start with the Mets, who the Miracle Mets run is officially over, but just an incredible season from them overall. You know, towards the second half of the year, they were practically unbeatable. They were one of the best teams in baseball. And after an 0-5 start to the year, where it felt like this was just going to be a complete rebuild of a team, you know, they end up making it to the National League Championship Series, forcing, you know, six games against the Los Angeles Dodgers. And just an incredible team overall that's going to look very, very different, you know, next year. They have so many free agents that we don't know, you know, who is coming back. But one thing is for certain of who is going to be back next year, and that's Mark Vientos, who had an incredible postseason, 5 home runs, 14 RBIs, who currently leads the postseason in RBIs, just an incredible young talent that looks to be, you know, the future of this team. And the Mets have the left side of their infield secured for a very long time in Francisco Lindor and now Mark Vientos.
You talk about the sheer amount of free agents that this team has, you know, Alonso, Manaea, Quintana, Severino, their three best starters are all going to be free agents this year. And that's a really huge question for them. And then obviously one of their star key cornerstones in their franchise that has been around since 2019, Pete Alonso, he's also likely, you know, going to test free agency and he could potentially leave. This Mets team could look so different in just a few months' time that you could go from the NLCS and they already have one of the highest payrolls in baseball.
Well, yeah. And like, that's the whole thing. It's like with the Juan Soto conversations, like how serious is Steve Cohen going to be in offering Soto what's probably going to be in the $550 to $600 million range, just with the way that MLB contracts are going. And Soto is arguably a top three player in baseball. You could mix and match whoever you want, but it's hard to put Soto down that much lower. And yeah, this Mets team, like, you wonder what they're going to do. And based on the way Alonso was talking in his post-game interviews and just the vibes that he's been giving, it feels like the Mets aren't really his, like, solidified destination. He's just giving off the vibe, and like, even the way he's speaking in the tense that he's speaking in is saying like, yeah, I've enjoyed my time with the Mets, and kind of like reminiscing on, you know, what has been a very, very good career in New York. But yeah, you mentioned like Manaea, Quintana, Severino, they're all free agents and they're going to command a good amount of money. I don't see why Steve Cohen wouldn't entertain the opportunity to potentially re-sign these guys. But I mean, you just look at it, it's a lot of talent that's leaving. And, you know, for guys like Quintana and Sean Manaea, like, just, you know, no disrespect to them, but they're a little bit older. I don't really know if Steve Cohen wants to bring them back, just given how young this Mets team can still be when you look at Lindor, who's 28, and obviously Mark Vientos is pretty young, and they'll have Luis Angel Acuña Jr. back up. I would potentially bring back Severino because he's age 29, but I just don't see you bringing back Manaea because...
Yeah, I think there's definitely an outcome where people just see how dominant Manaea was in the postseason, and his player option is only for $13.5 million, less than he's making this year at $14.5 million. I think there is a genuine, real possibility he declines that player option to try and get, you know, his stuff. the way his stuff comes in from the lefty, from the left side, it's almost unhittable for a lot of left-handed hitters. And I think there's definitely a real shot where he ends up declining that player option and just becoming a free agent, because there will be a definite market for starting pitchers. There's always is. Everyone wants to have adding to their rotation. But what a year for these Mets. Just overall, quickly wrap it up. Just this NLCS kind of did this team a disservice with how many blowouts there were. Like, these Mets were always known for just coming back and being resilient and always being in close games. And then this kind of NLCS just fell flat. Like, it was like three blowouts by the Dodgers. Even this last game, it was 10-5 and it was 6-1 after 3 innings. And it just looked like once Will Smith hit that second home run, once the second home run hit, game was done. The Dodgers had solidified their spot. You could have even told me, like, after that 2-run double by Tommy Edman in the first inning, the series was over.
Well, I mean, it also took 46 innings for a team to get its first lead change, but like this is why people said the Padres Dodgers series was the real NLCS. Like that was really to determine who was going to the World Series. And that's no disrespect to the Phillies or the Mets, whoever would have came out of that series. But I mean, let's be real. The Dodgers and the Padres are the two best teams in the National League. They are the powerhouses. If the Mets couldn't hit the Dodgers starting pitching, it was good night because they hadn't faced a bullpen that was that dominant and that lethal. And that proved to be true because as soon as the Dodgers made it 6-1, although Vientos hits that home run to make it 6-3, you still felt like the Dodgers bullpen, who was not very good yesterday, they definitely needed these extra days of rest, but they still were unhittable. And that was the problem with these Mets, is that they couldn't attack the starters.
Moving on, I guess we'll talk about another team that was supposed to have a lethal bullpen, the Cleveland Guardians, where Emmanuel Clase went from probably Cy Young runner-up to what happened to you, big bro? Like, a 9 ERA in 8 innings pitched in the postseason is insane for somebody that was literally unhittable in the regular season. His cutter inside on righties was unhittable, and we talked about it before where overusing that bullpen gives these players a look, gives them live at bats against this guy. It's a lot different watching footage and seeing how it moves compared to actually being up there. And if you keep going out there, eventually they'll notice it. Eventually, hitters will start to realize. But we talk about, the Guardians had some real good chances throughout this series, and it just seemed like costly defensive errors and pitching struggles at the worst times were just what really done them in.
You look at Emmanuel Clase in his career, and during the regular season, in 312 innings, he has a 1.67 ERA. In 14 innings in the postseason, he has a 5.14 ERA. This is who Emmanuel Clase is, and everyone's like trying to compare him to Mariano Rivera and all that. That's just disrespectful to Mariano Rivera because Mariano Rivera gave up like two home runs in his postseason career, and Emmanuel Clase did that on back-to-back hitters. So let's cut the brakes on Emmanuel Clase being as good as Mariano Rivera because the stats don't lie, numbers don't lie. Their starting pitching is not that good, and they had Matthew Boyd, who is like decent, but that's not someone who you're trying to roll out like in a game two or a game one. Like he's like a solid game three, game four starter. And then, obviously with Shane Bieber out and Tristan McKenzie just not being good, Tanner Bibee was solid, but then obviously gave up the home run to Stanton to erase a 2-0 lead. The Guardian, and then, Alex Cobb coming back from injury after getting traded from the Giants to the Guardians, they just like they don't have starting pitching, but they also don't have a good enough payroll to really compete. Yeah. And look, who knows, what the future holds for this team. I think they do have a bright future, obviously with Jose Ramirez, Josh Naylor, Kyle Manzardo, Big Christmas. You have Stephen Kwan and Lane Thomas. Like, you can attack free agency and you have a solid lineup already. Maybe you add a piece here or there, but you have a solid foundation as well. Brian Rocchio, you got guys that can really perform. They just need better starting pitching to offset the bullpen.
Yeah, and that's really the big thing about it. They just need somebody to really take those innings and let the bullpen rest and give the bullpen days off instead of working Hunter Gaddis, Emmanuel Clase,
Kate
and
Smith.
every yeah, Cade Smith and everyone else working them multiple days in a row. It just really isn't a recipe for success. But I guess now moving on, we can talk about the actual World Series matchup between the Yankees and the Dodgers, and looking to be a great first game of the series. Hopefully it's Yamamoto, just so it could be, kind of revenge against that, not revenge, but the team that was also in the running to sign Yamamoto and overall didn't, because they didn't want to pay more than they were already paying for Gerrit Cole. They didn't want to show up him. But now that could be a really interesting start for the first game of the World Series. And
You talk about the Dodgers, we could even, want to go back to an NLCS recap because, obviously want to just highlight the teams first that are now going home. But I mean, Tommy Tanks Edman hitting in the four spot. NLCS MVP. I mean, if you told me before the post or before the NLCS that a roster that includes all of these names, that Tommy Tanks Edman would win the NLCS MVP after hitting 407 with an OPS above 1,000 and 11 RBIs in the series after having just won against the Padres. Just incredible work by Andrew Friedman and the entire scouting department to trade Miguel Vargas and a couple, boxes of cookies for Tommy Edman and Michael Kopech, and it's really paid off. Look, I'm my unbiased but slightly biased. I'm taking the Dodgers in six. I'm taking the Dodgers in six. I just look, obviously the Cleveland Guardians pitching staff is really, really good. But right now, I think what we've seen is that offense better, like I'd rather have better offense than better pitching. And I think the Guardians made that clear in their series against the Yankees, where right now the Dodgers in the postseason are averaging over 6 runs per game, and the Yankees are hovering around 3.5 runs per game. I just think the offense right now, the way it's clicking for the Dodgers, can override the pitching of the Yankees. And, both of these teams are very evenly matched. But when now you already have to work for the Dodgers. You already have to worry about Ohtani. You have to worry about Betts. I don't know what's going on with Freeman. I don't know if he's going to play. The Dodgers are 3-0 without him. The offense looks a lot better when he's not on the field. But you have. Nonetheless, you would have Betts, Ohtani, Hernandez, Muncy to worry about. And then you also have guys like Will Smith batting eighth yesterday, Tommy Tanks in the cleanup spot. Winning the NLDS, I think, took a lot of pressure off the shoulders of the Dodgers. Because I think I believe that they believe that if they could have got past the Padres, there's no one else, like, there's no one that they can't beat. And yes, the Yankees have Soto and Judge and Stanton and Volpe's hitting really hot at the top of the order, as well as Gleyber Torres. But I think the way that the Dodgers are playing and the fact that they muscled their way through the World Series, and I think it was a tougher road for the Dodgers to get there than it was for the Yankees. I just think, the Dodgers are going to emerge victorious, and the fact that they have home field is a reason why I believe that.
Yeah, and I mean, you just look at this Dodgers lineup and it's like top to bottom. You talked about it with Freddie Freeman on the bench, their offense is still electric, and you have Teoscar, Ohtani, Betts, Edman, Will Smith. You have these just back to back to back to back to back just hitters in the lineup that are going insane. And we talk about it with the Yankees going now. Giancarlo Stanton has been electric this postseason. And it's funny how you go from switching from, it seems like almost him and Aaron Judge have like switched like how good they've been. Where in the regular season, obviously Aaron Judge is an insane regular season performer, multiple 50 home run seasons. And then we look at Giancarlo, where, you know, in the postseason or in the regular season, he's kind of, you know, not as good as he used to be. And obviously that's a deal with age and his injury history and just how much he's been dealing through things right recently. But we look at him in the postseason and he's been incredibly clutch. It seems like every time a big moment comes up for the Yankees, Giancarlo Stanton is at the plate and he delivers. And you have just that three-headed monster right now of power, where you have Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, and Juan Soto all almost back to back in the lineup, where you have Soto, Judge, and Stanton. That's an insane back to back to back. And Gleyber Torres sneakily, I think it was he was reached safe on base 8 of the first 9 postseason games so far. He's been on base as the first as the leadoff man.
Well,
And that's
Muncy clears.
yeah. It's an insane thing to look at because Gleyber Torres was looked at as, oh, he's gonna be gone after this year. You know, he's had a lot of emotional issues during the year. Didn't want to move to third base with the acquisition of Jazz Chisholm. And it just seemed like, well, what are they going to do with Gleyber? And now it seems like, well, now we have to keep him because just of how good he's been in this postseason, getting on base, being clutch, getting on base is huge for them. Just to load up, basically not being allowed to walk or pitch around Soto or Judge or Stan, who come all after him. It's been incredibly huge for him to get on base for that Yankees team. And it's an insane thing to look at where both of these lineups are Goliaths. And it goes to show that all these other teams that don't want to spend money on players, they need to wise up and see that spending money does work. It obviously it works. You get the best talent available.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why, I mean, it's what's the first time since 1981 that the Dodgers and the Yankees are playing in the World Series. Like, it's pretty cool stuff to see. I just wanted to go back on, talking about obviously when we look at the starting pitching for each side, I mean, it's clear that the Yankees, have the advantage here. Neither team is really reluctant to swing at pitches, out of the zone. I think it's fair to say that I would take the Yankees starting pitching, but I would take the Dodgers bullpen. I know the Yankees bullpen has been really, really dominant as well. When you look at guys like Luke Weaver in the back end, Tommy Kahnle, former Dodger legend, just has only thrown changeups this entire postseason, which is just insane that like no one's been able to hit it. Because I mean, what I guess you're waiting on the fastball, but like who cares? He's mainly throwing the changeup. But it's just interesting to see, how things go. But quick shout out as we go back talking back on the Dodgers, in game five, obviously Flaherty didn't have his best stuff. It was very evident. It only goes 3 innings, 8 hits, 8 earned runs. But I think what people have kind of forgotten about that allowed the Dodgers to throw a bullpen game in game six was Brent Honeywell going 4 2/3 and basically finishing off that entire game for the Dodgers, allowing them to have this bullpen game. And I'm curious to see how the bullpen game fares against the Yankees. Is Alex Vesia going to be healthy? There are talks about both him and Gratterall being added back onto the World Series roster after both were left off because of injuries in the Championship Series roster. And if you have those two at your disposal, I think it just makes it so much easier to throw these bullpen games, which.
There's a lot of depth, and there's a lot of, I mean, like the Yankees, we look at they added Mark Leiter Jr. to their postseason roster. And he came up that day and pitched the next game too, where, and he gave them good outings where they have guys on their taxi squad right now that, you know, probably weren't thinking, well, they have to stay ready. And they've been throwing in the bullpen probably in their meantime. And Mark Leiter Jr. probably wasn't thinking he would end up being on this Yankees postseason roster, but a lot of both of these bullpens have guys where they can get added on at any time and provide good outings for them. Like it is cool to see that these guys, both bullpens have such insane depth. Like
Yeah.
it's great to see how deep these teams get into their bullpen, and these guys just pitch. They pitch good.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you look at it. You mentioned Mark Leiter Jr., Clay Holmes, Luke Weaver, Tim Hill has been a stud ever since he got waived. I don't want, I don't think anybody wants the Yankees to win. I'm good without the Yankees winning that series. I'm good with the Dodgers winning.
Yeah, I'd imagine you'd be wearing your daughter's hat right now, but yeah, like I think the best part for this Dodgers team is having guys who've seen these pitchers before. Like Teoscar has seen Gerrit Cole before for multiple years, and Ohtani's obviously been in the division, or not in the division, in the American League for a long time, for his entire career before this year, and you get to. You know, he's played against the Yankees multiple times in his career, played against Gerrit Cole. There is a real shot where a lot of these Yankees hitters haven't had that much experience, besides like Jazz Chisholm, and Juan Soto's had some experience too, but they haven't had as much experience against like Yamamoto. And you know, it's kind of a new look for these guys where hopefully the Dodgers somehow end up pulling away with this. It's showing my bias now. I'm biased where I don't want the Yankees to win at all, but
Yeah, I don't know. I think the one thing that we can, one other thing we could bring up is just how valuable it is, how valuable the trade deadline is, for both teams. When you look at it with the Yankees, they get Jazz Chisholm Jr. from the Miami Marlins. Myself included was just like, yo, what is going on? Like, why are the Yankees targeting Jazz Chisholm? And I guess, even pre-trade deadline, you talk about the trade for Juan Soto. Like, the Yankees didn't make the playoffs last year, and then Soto comes in, and him and Judge are just the Bash Bros. And you just see, obviously, you have a lot of homegrown talent with guys like, Anthony Volpe, as well as Austin Wells. I believe Luke Weaver is a homegrown guy. I'm pretty sure. Or no, I'm sorry, he's not. He's a journeyman. My apologies. I didn't realize how long he's been in the MLB for. But you just see, he wasn't that good before coming to the Yankees. I'm going to consider that homegrown. I'm considering him homegrown talent. But yeah, like, you just see the importance of the deadline, especially with a guy like Jazz Chisholm, who's kind of just given a new life to this Yankees team. You see the energy he brings. You see the importance that Tommy Edman and Michael Kopech and even Jack Flaherty. I don't know where this team would be without Jack Flaherty, but, and you can make an argument that even where would this team be without Jazz Chisholm's feistiness and his hot start in his Yankees career, where they stole that series against the Phillies right away and then kind of took off ever since.
I think that'll just about do it for this episode of Breaking News Bears. I once again want to thank my co-host Evan Davis, and I once again want to thank you guys, the listeners, for listening to another episode of Breaking News Bears. Hopefully, by the time this next episode comes out, we're gonna have a probably be midway through the World Series by then, and we'll probably have a greater outlook on some things that are going on in the series, big moments, and we'll see you all next time on another episode of Breaking News Bears.